In our last episode, Carrie Hain, Head of Content Strategy Relations at content platform Sanity.io, and Lindy Rue, my Tendo colleague and EVP and partner at Tendo Communications, geeked out about connected content, the holy grail digital content strategy. We will continue the conversation in this next episode, where I toss out a few common myths about connected content, and Carrie and Lindy set me straight. Let's do this. You know, you talked about the challenge, right, for some of your clients on how to develop the business case, right, to roll out structured content. And at Tendo, we also work with a lot of clients in a lot of different marketing roles, content marketing, product marketing, and I think there's some assumptions that are made, right, when we bring up this topic around structured content. And so I want to do a little bit of Mythbusters with you. And both you, Carrie and Lindy, I want you to provide your point of view on this. And I'm going to launch off with the first myth about this technology being new and it requiring a very long implementation cycle, steep learning curve. Tell me about that, and let's try to bust that first myth.
Well, I think Lindy and I have both been working this way for over 10 years.
Yes, we're that old. It is not new. And that's, you know, something that often comes up. The idea of structuring content is definitely not new, and we probably cut our teeth on thinking that way, which is definitely helpful as we progress through our work. Not old. Learning curve. I think there is a learning curve just in terms of the perception. I think the thing that we tell clients is that once you've thought through this once, and again, it goes back to the pilot, it's more about a way of thinking than it is about completely transforming everything in your organization.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think with regard to the technology, technology has caught up to this way. And I think we're getting to the point where it's the standard. Now, like it used to, I remember at one point, I'm like, well, if we want to do structured content, and I probably didn't even call it that at the time. If we want to do it this way, you know, with a database and not page based, then we have to use one of these two or three things. And now I don't know any content management system or content technology that doesn't do it databases by default. I mean, even Squarespace, like I have a Squarespace site, I can do this in Squarespace as well. Not as well as I can in you know other platforms, but it's shifted now. How it's used is still in flux because you can still use a headless CMS, a structured content platform, whatever, for page building, and you can say, you know, hero image, title, body. It would be not using it to its fullest potential, but you can still do it. And that's, I think, the bigger challenge is using the technology to get the best, get the most out of it. So the technology is always going to be ahead of us because they're always thinking. It's a different world. And so the tech companies and software engineers are always thinking a little bit differently than content folks. And so they build the tools and then have to wait for people to catch up to them.
Also, shout out to the technical documentation industry who've been writing in DITA for forever. And, you know, that's also a great space to explore early structured content and how it was used across technical documentation.
All right, great. Well, thank you for busting that first myth. I have two more. So the second myth is around this assumption that structured content limits freedom and flexibility.
Yeah, what I hear is people well, but what if I want to put the image on the right? Like, you shouldn't have to worry about that. Like, that's not what a content creator's, they shouldn't have to design. And I know that's what they expect. And so when you give them structured content that is basically like a form, and they're just filling out form fields, they feel constricted. But if you've done that right and you've worked with them, those are meaningful bits of content. And so people can create little bits at a time. You don't have to create the whole thing all at once. You could create things. You could say, I need this image with this text and not have to worry about how it's going to show up. There's people who are experts at that and they'll figure that out. But now, again, going back to like when you have all these pieces, these building blocks or Lego bricks, people, you can say, oh, how can I put those together over here? And now you don't have to redesign anything. You don't have to rewrite anything. You don't have to redo anything. You just have to have a new display for it. There's always a trade-off. No, you can't. Some of us want to limit, we don't care. You can't change the color of the font or, it's a learning curve, but it's certainly, once people adapt to more the structured authoring, then they can start seeing. And if they're working with good designers and developers who can make their vision come true, they can start seeing the creativity and flexibility it gives them.
Yeah, I think building in Lego is a very creative exercise, and that in and of itself is, right. If you're able to expand your creative mindset to building something that is in its composite parts a story, a wonderful piece of content that holistically is achieving your goals, and you're thinking about the ways that you can then express that over multiple different platforms. I think, people also talk about, well, do we have to have multiple different versions of the same piece of content so that we can address tone or audiences? I've heard that in with regard to personalization, and that's where structure gives you so much opportunity to be creative. Yes, you can tweak and change things at the micro level that then allow you to tell the story in multiple different ways. So it's conceptual, and it takes a minute to really get the benefit of what this does. But as you said, Carrie, do it once and see how that allows you to create more and be more impactful with what you're creating, which ultimately is what we're trying to do with content.
Great, great. So our last myth, and this pertains to the various marketing functions I mentioned before. As I mentioned, we work a lot with content marketers, product marketers, communications professionals. They tend to be siloed, right, from the content strategist within a company. And so one of the perceptions here from the perspective of these roles is, hey, I'm doing well in my little role here in my function. This really, all this other stuff, this structured content, really doesn't apply to me at all. So why should I care? So what are your thoughts on that?
You want to go first?
I think that's, and we see that a lot, Kim. I think in a lot of ways, it goes back to your organizational structure and how content is perceived across an organization. So some of this is got absolutely nothing to do with the concept of structured content or the technology to implement it, and got a lot more to do, again, with those silos, the way that individual departments within an organization are gold, and therefore are looking to perform. So if your specific goals only relate to a demand gen program, then the value of whatever you're doing within a campaign actually also benefiting web visitors or social media or any other channel are not clear to you, nor do they matter to you because of the way that the organization is being structured. So it does need to be something that's thought of at a higher level in terms of organizational structure. But I am seeing, and I don't know, Carrie, if you are seeing the same, that there is a shift across organizations to start to, even if it's not under one umbrella or under one roof, to really look at content across the organization and understand the various elements that make up the storytelling that an organization is part of.
Yeah, I'm not seeing enough of it, but certainly examples. And I think that's the key, is what you just said, is the companies that are focusing on the storytelling are the ones that are embracing structured content, I think, the most, because they see the whole story, not the department goal. And so people leading that are also visionaries. That's what I'm seeing. This really struck home when I just listened. We had a panel of customers recently, internal, talking to us about what they're achieving. And it really had nothing to do with the technology. The technology enabled their vision. They all had a vision to cut across the company, to tell the story, to get things out faster so that they could adjust their story as they needed to, because the world doesn't stop because it takes you 2 weeks to publish a press release. it allows you to go faster. I'm not an advocate of quantity over quality, but you need to produce things. You need to update things. The world keeps changing. And so structured content allows you to move faster. It allows more personalization because the meaning is embedded in the structure. You can now dynamically and algorithmically produce content at scale that you can't do with humans. So you can curate content by deciding on what the algorithm should be. You know, if it's nighttime, if someone's coming from California versus Nebraska versus England, you know, like there's all of these things that, again, when you get down to the data, that's where the personalization happens, not just adding, you know, someone's name or remarketing or targeting based on a previous visit. I don't know, I don't get into that. I'm not a marketer, so I don't know all of those things. I just know that when I see horrible personalization, I'm offended. And I keep seeing all over the place, how Gen Z is changing the world and how we sell things and do things. I'm the parent of Gen Z, so I see how they're different and I see their expectations. All of those things are absolutely right. But most of all, they don't want to be pandered to. They want things to be authentic. They want to feel like a company is talking to them. And so that requires this personalization that is possible. Again, the technology is there. It's how we use it. And that absolutely for marketers is going to be so essential to success going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, the technology has been there for personalization, dynamic content for a very, very long time. And the missing piece is that structure to be able to deliver the right content in context. I want to go back to something you just said as well in terms of updating, and also the example you gave with Burger King, updating content. So I know that a large number of our clients struggle with being able to update and optimize their content over time and keep it relevant and up to date. And I think, again, if you have content structured in a way that you can easily access the parts of it that do need to be updated and can manage that to a specific schedule, it makes updating a whole lot easier. So it's also has that benefit in terms of the longer term value of that content.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for helping bust those myths. And, you know, what my big takeaway just hearing the conversation around these myths and some of the assumptions around structured content and the technology, the approach, different roles and what it means to them, some folks probably require a little bit more education on this topic. And so what would you recommend for our audience, whether they're more advanced in this topic or have no idea like where to even begin? You know, where do you think they should go or read to get more educated on this?
Well, I wrote a book on it. It's called Designing Connected Content, and it's 5 years old. So again, not new, and it took a year to write. So that I've been told that is a really good introduction, and for people who just need to the tidbits, it really changes how they work and how they approach things. So that's one place. That's my job now. I'm actually just am in the final stages of a kind of a structured content 101 article that will just help people understand what structured content is with some examples of what it is, what it isn't, and some of the benefits. And then we'll get into more details of how as time goes on. The other resource I point to a lot is Andy Fitzgerald. I'll send you the link so you can include it in show notes. But there's lots of Andy Fitzgeralds in the world. But if you search Andy Fitzgerald Information Architect, he has lots. He really breaks things down and shows some really excellent examples of the work he's done. So there's everything from that you could want in there.
Yeah, and we can point to those great resources, by the way. Huge fan of your book and also, you know, the material that you create around structured content. We'll provide links to those. And also on the Tendo website, there's some resources around structured content as well.
Yes. And I have read your book and I was a newbie, you know, before I embarked on my reading journey, but it's fantastic. I loved it. It's very well organized. It's easy to understand. So highly recommend for our listeners, you know, to get that and learn about this awesome and evolving area of content. So with that, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Lindy. And hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Thanks for setting the record straight, Carrie and Lindy. And if you want to learn more about this topic, we have some helpful resources for you. You can check out the book, Designing Connected Content, which Carrie co-authored. It's fantastic. I've read it myself. And you could buy this on Amazon. The book is a detailed guide for designing and implementing connected content. And you could also find additional resources in our show notes.
You have just listened to the B2B Content Experience Podcast with your host, Kim Celestri, VP of Content Marketing at Tendo Communications. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. And if you have any feedback, ideas, inspiration, or guest recommendations, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a line at inquiries@tendocom.com.